So Jamie Duner, back with us in the Tech Bacon studio. You were on a whirlwind European adventure.
I was.
You want to dig right in. Tell me some good food.
There was amazing gelato in Italy. There was some amazing... I got to get something off my chest first. In Paris, you know, perhaps the world's greatest food city. One of them for sure.
Arguably.
I had one of the worst restaurant experiences of my entire life.
Really?
Yes.
Why so bad?
Well, we were in Europe. At this point, we had been in Europe for 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
Lots of cheeses, lots of salted meats, lots of dishes with eggs.
Right.
A lot of heavy cream. And we're finally in a big city, and maybe we should branch out, find something that's a little different.
A little local flavor.
Not even really local, but we're in an international city. We should be able to get international food, correct?
Correct.
So we're in Paris, and we think, well, the French have a big influence in Vietnamese cuisine. There's a lot of Vietnamese people in Paris. Maybe tonight we have Vietnamese food. So, I take to the internet.
When in doubt, take to the internet.
And I research Paris Vietnamese restaurants, and I find this place called Chez Mai.
Chez Mai.
M-A-I. Chez, spelled the old-fashioned way. And all the descriptions are like, total hole in the wall. This little old lady who escaped the communist regime came to Paris and cooks her classic noodle dishes. Superb, like all this sort of stuff. I'm like, oh, this sounds great.
This is the place.
This is where we're going, you know. So we walk there. It's close, pretty close to where we're staying. And it's the outside of the restaurant. It just looks like it totally run down. Like, it does not look appealing, and I'm like, this is a good sign. You know, like, this is a total hole in the wall. This is going to be awesome. We walk in, and there's maybe 3 or 4 tables, and the whole rest of the restaurant is piles of things.
Like?
Not food-related. Like, this woman's stuff. Old videotapes.
What?
Piles of magazines. Mail that she hasn't opened, and clothes, and we sort of come to realize this lady's
home?
Living space, right? And we kind of look around. Her bed is in the kitchen, like in a little sort of like shelf in the back of the kitchen,
like a cot.
Yeah, like a built-in to the wall thing,
like prison.
And she's this little old lady. And, you know, this, even more, this is like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. This is the woman, she's making the food she loves out of her house. So we look at the menu. We order some dishes. We order like 3 or 4 things, and it's super cheap. This lady she doesn't understand English at all. I don't think she understands French at all. I speak a little French. And she, you know, we were having trouble communicating. And, but, you know, we could point to the menu and that
right.
was fine. And she goes back. The TV's been on the whole time, right? In the little TV, which is not in the kitchen, but beside the kitchen.
Okay.
And as she's cooking, as she's preparing, which is just like she's got a regular fridge and the burners. It's like an apartment kitchen. As she's cooking, she'll like open the fridge, and she'll stop, and she'll walk over and watch the TV for a little bit and, like, laugh at what's going on the TV. And Lauren and I are just looking at each other going, this is either going to be terrible or amazing. So then she brings us, we had ordered some wine, and she brings us, and the glasses are just filthy, like, disgusting, like, things crusted on them. And I'm just like, I don't think this is a good idea. But we already ordered, and it's this little old lady. What are we going to do? Just walk out? It's just her. If there were other people working there and that stuff, it would have been an easy walk out, right?
Right.
And it wasn't, we didn't feel like we were in someone's house and insulting them. Then she starts making stuff, and this is what I hear. I hear freezer open, rustling, a microwave open, microwave close.
No.
Beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, is she microwaving our dinner?
No way.
And so the first thing we got was like this noodle dish, and I swear to God that it was like ramen noodle, like 99-cent ramen noodle, and then like with microwaved chicken on it. Right?
Okay.
And so that was, I mean, it wasn't delicious or anything, but it was like,
it was okay.
I would have made that for myself at some point in my life, probably. I would not have microwaved the chicken, but you know. Then we had ordered these like other dishes, and they came out, and it was like we couldn't tell what the meat was. The vegetables were all like had come out of a can. It was lukewarm, and we just sort of like we each took a bite of it, and we just looked at each other like, no, we can't. And so we asked for everything to go, and we like got the hell out of there. This is how I knew it was really bad. While we were there, two Irish people came in from Ireland.
Yeah,
and they had been there before, and all they were talking about is how good it was. Irish food is notoriously terrible. So if the Irish liked it, you know it was bad. But it was bad. The place was dirty. It was gross. It was like if Anthony Bourdain went to a restaurant and it was bad. You know how like he goes to these like places the where they're places. Like kind of like...
It was so bad. No. It was so bad, there is no joke.
There is no joke. She was... I mean, it was this weird little old lady cooking out of her kitchen. Mai was her name. My. It was terrible.
This is Tech Bacon, a weekly conversation about the latest in technology, new media, and random foodstuffs. I'm your host, Scott Gold, and this is episode number
52.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Bacon International Edition.
Bonjour, mon ami.
Jamie D, back from his world travels to regale us of tales of good food now in the future of this episode.
Yes, yes.
I figure we're going to mix it up a little bit. What I wanted to do also at the start of this show this week was, normally at the end of the show we say follow us on all these things. We're going to do that up front this week.
Okay.
So, you know, if you like the show, rate us on iTunes. We'd love to get that information. Shoot us an email, scott@techbacon.net, jamie@techbacon.net. You know, you can check out the show on Stitcher, on Twitter @ScottyG7 and
BSTRDMONKEY,
the ever famous. So, you know, we'd love to hear from the folks listening. So if you are out there and listening, drop us a line. Don't shoot us, but drop us a line. So big things, back to big things in the tech world in the past couple of weeks. Well, Mr. Dooner has been out and about. Mm-hmm. One of the big news stories this week is there was a big Supreme Court ruling by the Supreme Court.
They rules.
Dude, the Supreme Court rules. And it was a fascinating ruling about some stuff that happened regarding things.
What the F, Scott?
And that's what it was about. It was basically, this has been going on for a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is back from the NYPD Blue Days. That you were saying.
Yes, the specific incident was, I believe, in 2003, where a naked female posterior was shown on an episode of NYPD Blue on ABC, and you know, half of America freaked out about it for some reason.
Right.
Even though they all have asses.
They are all.
Yeah.
So the big thing was the FCC ruled that that pretty much, what was it? That the Supreme Court has prohibited the FCC from imposing fines and sanctions for fleeting expletives and nudity on television. So the biggest thing is that, you know, in the past, if there was a brief shot of a breast or there was a quick swear or something like that, the networks and the shows could get fined a lot of money,
right,
by the FCC. And now, basically, that's they can't do that anymore because the rules are too vague. The Supreme Court said the rules are so vague that they cannot impose these fines. Doesn't mean they can't still have the rules.
But they have to re-establish the rules.
And, you know, they don't know if that's going to happen. But the biggest thing is this opens the door by the Supreme Court saying this is that there can be a lot more challenges to these rulings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, to me, I think that's a good thing because I think the standards that are out there are just ridiculous.
They're antiquated.
They're antiquated. They're outdated. Especially in this day and age where there is the internet media.
Mm-hmm.
Because the internet media doesn't have to play by any of those rules.
Yeah.
So it's a completely different... you have internet lines that are coming to... I mean... I'm like all over the place. I'm like, so you mean, and we have lines, we have internet, and there's all the, and the
Scott
FCC,
Gold,
and
you're talking and like the internet right now.
Like those commercials where they,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Where the people are like Google and they like start asking questions.
Oh, yeah.
But the biggest thing is most people get their television now through cable.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the exact percentage, but it is a larger percentage that get them through cable lines or satellite.
Right.
Or internet. Than they do over the air.
Airwaves, yeah.
Right? So that is the same, you know, the stuff that's getting piped into people's homes from these lines on the internet or on satellite, those rules don't apply.
Mm-hmm.
So why do they still apply on the free national airwaves? Just doesn't, to me, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense. So I don't know. I mean, it's one of two things are going to happen. One is their FCC is going to come out with a list of rules of things you can and can't say, things you can and can't show. But even if they do that, I think this has opened the door for challenges every time.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. I mean, you know, some people will say that limitations create creativity, and there's something to be said for that.
There is something to be said for that.
But at the same time, like, there's no reason why we're living by the same rules they had in 1970.
Right. Or you know? 1950.
Or 1950, right. I mean, like, it comes down to people being afraid that their kids are going to say dirty words and want to see boobs all the time.
Right. But, you know? I mean, look at... This is, you know, this is...
And here's
look
the thing.
At Europe.
Here's the
you
thing.
You were just there.
Well, here's the thing. No one's ever going to stop either of those things from happening.
Right.
Kids are always going to want to say dirty words. Kids are always going to want to look at naked pictures.
And, I mean, and the thing is, like, it's a parent's responsibility. It's, I mean, it is also the creator's responsibility, however much they want to take upon themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think you can dictate it because there are.
You shouldn't say that, Scott.
That you can't dictate. Yeah, I mean, it's just like a network can still have their own standards and practices that they want to get out to the world. That's okay. I mean, you know, it's like, but they shouldn't be. It shouldn't be banned because basically that's what it is. It's banned. And I'm not saying that it should be, oh, there should be porn all over the network television. That's not what I'm saying.
But you go across seas and there is porn.
Yeah.
At night, there's porn. Which I don't, sure. I mean, I don't necessarily think we should go there. But
no,
like,
I don't think so either.
But I still don't, I have no problem with, I mean, I'm also a 37-year-old man and I'm mature about these things.
Sure. Well,
I have no problem about language or nudity.
Right.
I think actually violence is a bigger problem.
I do too. Well, and that's what's so weird with all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Is like they're saying they want, you know, decency portrayed across television, but something where there's a healthy married couple and if they were to be having sex on television, how is that worse than mutilating somebody, grabbing their heart out of their chest, you know, like in The Walking Dead and showing
right.
that?
Yeah, but that's cable too. That's not they're not.
Well, that's true.
And but. AMC has their own, they have their own, they,
but still there's cop
get
shows
with,
and there's medical shows and there's,
oh, I mean,
you know,
there's
gore and blood
that,
and
that
you
know. Is, that's very violent. All the Law and Orders and that sort of stuff is very,
the SVU and like, I mean, that stuff, that's crazy. You know, it's, so it just, there's a big double standard going on. I think this is a good thing. I think it's going to make it, you know, I think it's, hopefully can lead to more creativity and, you know, it gives
I think this is one of those incidents where I think less government regulation is a good thing. Like that it's shielding your children from those influences is your job as a parent. It's not anyone else's job.
Right.
Like, right. So you program your TV so they can't put certain channels on. That's shouldn't be the government that does that. It should be you.
No, exactly. Exactly. And I think, and I mean, just to close it out, I mean, I really think that the people that are creating content, they will do what they see as best in that realm.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think the less restrictions, I think the more responsible that the content creators would be on their own. I not everybody, but I think in general, I think that's how it would work.
Right.
Personally. So that was what was going on in that. So let's jump. We're mixing it up on this. This is a mixed up podcast, man.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear about some good food from Europe. Jamie.
Wait, you just threw me a loop for a loop, man.
What do you mean?
You just like, here's, and now food.
And you're on.
okay.
Well, let's... you know, you gave us this horrible thing, and I don't want that in our minds anymore. And there's so much food in this podcast.
Yeah.
This is a food-centric podcast.
Well, here's an odd one.
Okay.
Best odd sandwich one. I had.
Best sandwich. Okay.
Was at the Venice airport.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
Come on.
I swear.
Okay. Do tell.
In the airport at Venice, they have like a fresh marketplace. So like all sort of regional Italian cheeses and oils and mm-hmm. meats and vegetables. And it's just like there so that people can eat fresh while they're waiting for their plane.
Wow.
Sandwich was amazing. I mean, we looked for a great sandwich while we're in Venice.
Amazing. I love it.
We looked for a great sandwich while we were in Venice, and it was, you know, when you're over there, like, you got like a, you know, 50-50 chance every time you walk into one of these little cafes that it's going to be good or it's just going to be boring.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like we walked into a lot of boring ones, but the but that sandwich, and it was fresh burrata, Parma ham, some basil, amazing.
Good stuff. That's nice.
Yeah, delicious.
What else? Give me just some highlights here.
Okay. I had this gelato in...
Oh, yeah. By the way, So while Jamie was on his honeymoon, it didn't last the whole time, but he would send me...
I got reprimanded.
Yeah, he would text me pictures of the food.
I did text pictures of the food, and at some point my wife was like, are you going to do that with everything you eat?
I enjoyed them, but... So he sends me a picture of a sign for a gelato place and says best gelato ever. I was like, where's the picture of the food?
I ate the gelato. It was so good that I just ate it before I even thought about taking a picture of it.
What was it?
It was in this little town called Leno, L-E-N-N-O, on Lake Como in Italy. It was this... the flavor was called white coffee. And what it tasted... I can't even describe it. It was like... A lot of gelato is really heavy.
Yeah, it is.
This was not. It was still the same consistency and everything, but it tasted like a cloud.
It tasted like a cloud.
Like it was so good. It was so light and just sort of like this initial taste of like really light, sweet milk, right?
Right.
And that just kind of, it was very light. And then just at the very back end of it, you tasted coffee,
like a little bitter,
but you traveled through the milk to the coffee as you tasted it.
You have said so many things in that sentence
that you don't understand.
No, I mean it's you ate a cloud.
Yeah, I ate a cloud of slightly coffee flavor.
That's amazing.
But it was. I mean, while we were at this little stand, and Lake Como is a beautiful lake, and you sort of. When you're there, you stay in a little town, and then you take boats to all the other little towns. So
right.
From where we stayed in Bellagio, and from there to Leno was like maybe 15 minutes on a little boat, you know,
yeah.
Across a beautiful lake. And in Leno, there's like, you know, there's like a beautiful villa to look at, and there's like six restaurants and this gelato place. While we were there, there was this guy who had spent something like 10 months traveling around just Italy. Right.
Oh yeah. Wow.
And he had been back to the same gelato restaurant 6 times in 2 days because he said it was the best he had in all of Italy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
that's gelato.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was really, really good.
That's really cool.
It was so good that I didn't really seek it out all that much more on our trip.
Because you just, you had the best.
I don't want to ruin that. I don't want to ruin that, you know?
Nice. Nice. What about, so you went to a pretty famous restaurant too out there.
L'Atelier by Joel Robuchon.
Very famous chef.
Most recently I think it's Condé Nast does the top restaurants of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was number 12 this year.
Right.
So that was a neat place. Lauren happened to be sick that night. She wasn't feeling well. And I was like, I'll just stay here. She's like, no. She's like, you're going to sit in the room and watch me be sick? She's like, go. You know, she's like, you know, she doesn't really care for the big fancy meals, like
right.
certain things. Once you start getting into like foie gras and all that stuff, she doesn't want to be
right.
part of it. So, so I go and it's this restaurant. It's almost set up like a sushi bar where it's all counter space, all around the kitchen, right? So the kitchen's in the center.
Right.
There's no two tops or four tops. It's all counter seats,
mm-hmm.
which was great because I was by myself. You know, turned right. out awesome.
Right.
You know,
perfect.
And, you know, world class service kind of place. I mean, it wasn't super fancy. You didn't have to wear a jacket, which nice. In Paris, that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
For a restaurant that costs that much. and I had a tasting menu, and which is all little bites. Trying to think of some of the highlights. For the first time in my life, I liked foie gras. Never have been a fan.
And you will not be able to eat it anymore in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you know, there's a morality thing to it, I guess. You know, the right people have always sort of bought the right kind of foie gras. They're not buying the stuffed.
Right.
But I don't know. The same people that are banning this are still allowing big
veal
chickens to be sold. Chickens are treated the worst out of anything,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But whatever, I'm not going to get into that right now because I don't want to. so I had foie gras, and it was a little tiny piece. It was fried a little bit, and it was sort of had roasted pumpkin seeds on it, and then also roasted cherries. And man. If
Delicious.
It wasn't, yeah, it was like, I put it in my mouth and I was like, oh, now I get it. Never got it before. I was
this
like, I'm
how
sure
it's
what
supposed
people
to be.
Also, had really good caviar there, which I was also nice. One of those things where I'm like, I don't
yeah.
really care
for
it.
I'm not a huge caviar fan either.
But it was really good. It was like on this little thing of like a potato foam and some celery, and it was really delicious.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, that meal was good. It's not like, you know what?
Not like mind-blowing or anything.
I will say that, like, I did not, while on my trip, while I had many delicious things and some very good meals, we did not once have, like, a defining life meal, one of these best of our lives, which right. I kind of wanted on our honeymoon.
Right.
But, you know, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You had life-defining gelato, though.
Oh, for sure. And certain things. I mean, that foie gras, that, you know.
Right. You just didn't have that get up from the table and be like, wow.
Right. Like, you know, like we had a breakfast like that this year in New Orleans.
We did.
And maybe even another meal like that in New Orleans, too, with the fried chicken.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. we will talk about it at the end of the show, but I had a meal like that last week.
And I had a meal like that in Japan. A year and a half ago, one of the great meals of my life. I had one in Italy years ago, two in Italy years ago.
Right.
But just didn't have it this time. But I had some great meals. I had another meal where we were picked up from the hotel by the chef in Italy and driven up this mountain
That's
pass
incredible.
To his restaurant. And that was very good. That there was one particular thing in that meal that was polenta ravioli. So the shell... The ravioli itself
was made out of
polenta, and then it was filled with crawfish and shrimp, and that was one of the best things I had all trip. It was just, you know what it is? I just came to realize it's sort of, it's about little bites, I think,
yeah.
there. I am not sometimes, like, the Italian meals appeal to me more than the French meals do. French meals are so rich.
Yeah, you want, like, a
like that
broader
I don't
palette.
Like, I'm used to how things work here.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and it's different. And I think that good food here, it, for just maybe because of how I grew up and whatever, I think it tastes better to me. It's like, there's like, it's not as, there's more fresh or something. Does that make sense? It's not, that's not true.
But just how you perceive it or how you taste it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
But I'm not saying that there's, of course.
Well, there's incredible.
Yeah. And that's where all the food,
well, you know,
the cooking,
they all, train in France and then bring the amazing food back here. So,
yeah.
I mean, all these top world chefs come to the United States.
I also think that there's more of an open-mindedness here that they don't have there. Like, you get
more classic there.
It's classic. It's sort of like,
yeah.
It's a lot of it's like sort of like going to the steakhouse that your grandparents loved.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like a lot of meals like that.
Yeah.
Like where it's delicious.
Traditional.
But it's heavy and it's, you know.
Yeah.
But great wine.
I'm sure.
So had another great meal in Croatia. Croatia was awesome.
That's cool.
I mean, just.
What was the food style you would say in Croatia? Mediterranean, Italian? I mean, like, where did it veer towards?
It was
Croatian, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's heavy on seafood and it's.
Yeah.
It's very much like Italian food.
Got it.
It's right across, I mean, Croatia borders Italy.
Right.
It's right across the
Adriatic.
It's a very Adriatic
similar
from
style
it.
Of.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
So it's like, you know, it's like what you would find in Venice or on the on a coast in Italy.
Gotcha.
Delicious. Nice. Very good.
Sounds good. Sounds good and fun. And,
yeah, I'm amazing.
Glad you ate your way through.
Some amazing pastries, great chocolate in Switzerland, awesome fondue in Switzerland.
Yes, I also got a picture of
schnitzel.
Schnitzel that looked incredible.
Wiener schnitzel.
Wiener. What'd you call me? nice. Well,
if I can think of it, it's one of these things too where I'm still processing the trip, so like
right.
I'm forgetting things.
Sure.
So I'm sure there's other things I'm not even. That
well, aside from a
about.
Cloud, Jamie ate a tree, some raindrops, and
a lot of dirt.
And some dirt.
At Chiang Mai.
Amazing. All right. And since we're jumping around, we're going to go back into the world of technology. Couple weeks ago, Apple had some big announcements. They had a big event and they announced a few things. So one of the big things was the new MacBook line, the MacBook Pro computers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see those?
No, not really.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So basically, first of all, they got rid of the 17-inch MacBook. Doesn't exist anymore.
Uh-huh.
They're not selling that anymore. 15-inch. Is a Retina screen like the new iPad?
Oh.
So crazy high resolution screen. It is thinner than the other MacBook Pros, lighter. It is a powerhouse machine, just like incredible, really cool styling. The styling falls between a MacBook and a MacBook Pro and a MacBook Air.
Okay.
Like, that's kind of where it looks. I mean, it's still big because it's 15-inch, so it's still wide.
Yeah.
Like a 15-inch. It's amazing. The specs are crazy. I mean, like, solid-state drives, super fast RAM. It has USB 3, HDMI, Thunderbolt, and, like, everything you can imagine. No optical drive.
Huh.
No optical. I think within the next generation of all Macs, it will be gone completely.
Huh.
Which makes sense these days. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's like it's a rarity. But I went to the store and just kind of played around with one of these, you know, not in like day-to-day use. But, you know, it's still big because it's still a 15-inch. You know, portability, though, it's more portable than other 15-inches because it's lighter. It's definitely lighter. I mean, you can – I have a 15-inch here that I've had a friend of mine's and I like compared them and definitely is – it's lighter. It's sleek. It's just a pretty, like when you open it up, the screen is razor thin,
mm-hmm.
like the Air. You know, like it's amazing. The resolution.
When you were at the store, was the screen tilted to 70 degrees?
No.
Do you know about this?
No.
So the people at the Mac store always tilt the screen back 70 degrees so that people touch it and sort of pull it towards,
adjust it.
Yeah, so that they that so that it's tactile.
That is fascinating.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. It probably was. Uh-huh. It probably was. That's very interesting. This is, I mean, it's a beautiful machine. I mean, it's just like, if I was gonna get a 15 inch computer of any type, this is the best out there.
Right.
This thing's just insane. They also release, like, the screen is interesting because it's like the new iPad screen. So that super high resolution, you kind of, your eyes are a little weirded out when you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Because it's like better than you've ever seen anything, but you don't really know why. And so it's not like this popping thing. It's just this, you keep looking at it in a strange way.
Yeah.
But text on programs that don't make use of it is weird and bad.
Uh-huh.
Like when you're looking at Microsoft Word and you're typing, the letters are slightly garbled.
Oh, that's not good.
Which is, maybe they'll, I'm sure Microsoft will come up with an update, and all programs will come up with an update to take advantage of the screen resolution. But pretty, pretty impressive piece of technology.
Huh.
I mean, really. Now, what's not great about these machines is you can't upgrade the RAM.
Mm-hmm.
You can't upgrade the hard drive because it's solid state. The hard drive is, you can be taken out, but the RAM is soldered to the board.
Ooh.
So it's like, you know, they sell it with up to, I think you can get it with 16 gigs of RAM.
Right.
But so you can't buy it with less and then upgrade it. It's something I've never really liked.
Yeah.
But they do that with the Air also. So I mean,
I don't like that.
Yeah.
That's forcing you to buy a new machine in a few years.
Right. Exactly. Apple is kind of always done that. But, you know, they're saying it's,
yeah, but you could,
who knows,
I mean,
when
any other MacBook Pro, you can upgrade the RAM.
Right. But I think that's not going to be the case anymore.
I don't like that.
You know. So they also upgraded the specs on the MacBook
Air. As Sipowitz would say, that's bull.
See, you should have just said it and I would actually beep you out, bleep you out in the editing of it.
So we played a trumpet too.
They refreshed the MacBook Air line, gave that higher specs, bigger hard drives. I had a chance to actually work on one of the new MacBook Airs. May have been the fastest computer I've ever used in my life.
Really?
This thing, I'm sitting here working on this, and things that normally take a few minutes were going in seconds. And it was noticeably quicker.
Wow.
And I was just like, I'm sitting there working on this thing, and I had to stop for a second. I'm like, did it work right? Did that just work right? Or
weird.
Yeah, it was like upgrading an iPhoto library that would have taken 10 minutes. It took 30 seconds.
Wow.
I mean, like, zippy.
That's amazing.
I mean, yeah, pretty incredible. So,
don't call me Zippy.
Zippy Dooner. Zippity Dooner.
Oh, no. No. Take that back. That's racist.
I don't take it back.
That's racist. Song of the South is racist. Scott.
Yes, I know. I know. So they also, at this event, they announced the new Mountain Lion, which we kind of talked about in the past. And the biggest thing was the iOS 6, which they released a version of. A couple of huge changes, one of them being no more Google Maps.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, big split.
And so the split begins.
Yes. You got to see it a little bit on the phone.
I did. I saw a little bit of it. The 3D thing was really neat. It has the 3D maps. Their version of a 3D map is way better than Google's.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's like rendered out the buildings.
That's about as cool. That's the coolest thing that it does. The fact of the matter is, and I'm sure at some point they'll get up to it, but they just don't have the information
that Google has.
That Google has as far as,
it's just because of the years that it's been around.
Yeah, like it's going to take a while for them to catch up, and I mean, as long as I can get Google Maps on my iPhone, which hopefully I will be able to still.
Yeah.
I will be using that.
I would not be surprised if Google released an app.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
A Google Maps app. They also have, like, it's going to have, their traffic feature is going to be crowdsourced. So everyone using it, if you allow it, will crowdsource the traffic information based on people's iPhones in traffic.
Uh-huh.
Which is really interesting.
That's good.
I read that there's this company called Waze, that it's Waze or Waze-y, I can't remember, but they have a traffic app that's been out for a while that does that same thing.
Uh-huh.
So I heard that, I'd read online that that's what they're kind of using for that. So that's one of the big new features.
Yeah, the 3D is really stunning.
Yeah, it's like completely rendered versions of these cities.
But it looks like something. You know what it looks like? It looks like, special effects from a movie like 10 years ago.
Right.
Like it, but it looks real.
Neat, though. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, like Enemy of the State or something.
Or 2012 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
right, when they're going through the city and yeah. Enemy of the State. Yeah, yeah.
It's on your phone, you know. And it's not a multi-million-dollar movie that they spent to make these.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy. Another new feature is Facebook integration, finally. So, like, you could be on a picture, hit a button, say, post to Facebook, on a link, post to Facebook. There's this, like, integrated sharing feature, which they're definitely taking a cue from Android, which has that already.
Oh, it says the Facebook events are integrated into your calendar. I don't like that.
Well, you can turn it on or off, usually.
Because how many things do you get where it's, like,
I know,
where someone just posts it for everyone and doesn't sort of like select who would actually be interested in. You're like, and you know, it'll be like, you're invited to someone's birthday party in New Jersey. Yeah. And I'm like, but I don't live there. Why am I on this list?
Leave me alone. Stop it. My calendar. And also like information is in your address book now, like status updates and things like that. Also things that Android.
Wait, status updates in your address book?
Yeah.
What? I don't understand that.
Well, it'll just say, like, you know, underneath their name, it'll have their last Facebook post or whatever when you look up their contact. Not, you know, not in the list, but if you actually go into their contact.
Oh, that's weird.
Android's had that for a little while.
Is it? Do you find that?
I don't really use it.
Yeah, it's weird, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. Some people like it.
I mean, it's weird. It's like all the basic info. Here's your name. Here's your number. Here's your address. Just ate a crepe.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it...
Like,
yeah.
What?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Another big thing was shared photo streams. So like you could create different photo streams based on the, you know, photo stream that you already have now, but uh-huh. You can do different categories and share those with different people. So they live see them. Very Instagram-y.
Yeah, but a little more manageable. I like that.
But it's also not like you can't subscribe, I don't think, to your friends. Streams, they have to share it with you
on the photo streams.
Yeah, on the photo streams, and I guess maybe you accept it. I don't remember exactly, but it's nice, and they don't count against your iCloud storage, so that's kind of interesting. So I'm curious to see how that, you know, how that works. And you'll if you're running Mountain Lion, you'll be able to look at the photos, you know, using that, you know, using this shared photo stream, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things they announced, which...
This might be the neatest thing.
I think this is the coolest. For me, just for some reason, this is just fascinating. It's called Passbook. And what this... It's basically an app that aggregates all of your different coupons and frequent flyer cards and all of these different things into one app. So it says boarding passes, movie tickets, retail coupons, loyalty cards. They all get put in this Passbook. And the way it works is you just open up the Passbook, and if you're at Starbucks, you choose the Starbucks one, and then you can pay for your coffee. A cool little feature is that it has GPS built in. So you can have, if you get into the area of a Starbucks, it brings Starbucks up to the top in the app. Uh-huh. You know, or if you're at the airport, it brings your airport passcode up to the top.
What if there's a Starbucks in the airport, Scott?
It doesn't know what to do, and it explodes in your pocket. What do we do? What do we do? All of a sudden, you know, there's a curlicue of smoke coming out of the... This is neat. I mean,
cool. I like this. Like, this is good.
I guess what's interesting is they're going to release an API, so all these people... Starbucks and United and whoever can create apps that work within the Passbook.
Yeah.
I really like this. It's simple when you see it, but it's not, you know, obviously it's a complicated thing, but really interesting time and location based. So, you know, it's like when you do it, it can, like, if you have flight coming up, it can automatically, you know, put that up.
Right.
Saying your flight's coming up and give you your check-in and your barcode to scan your ticket and all that stuff. So that's going to be interesting to play around with and see how that works. What else? Facebook over call of cellular networks. That'll
FaceTime.
Be nice. FaceTime.
Facebook. Yeah, finally.
And then another feature right out of the Google Android playbook is reply with text message. So if somebody calls and you can't pick up the phone, instead of...
Yeah, that's great.
It's nice. And you have a bunch of predefined messages, or you can type your own. It's really cool. Like, I'm on the other line. What do you want? Or I'm, I'm
leave about, me alone,
or I don't want to talk to you ever again. Stop calling. Who is this? Stop calling.
I'm contacting the authorities. That's who I'm on the line with.
What's your favorite movie? What's your favorite scary movie?
I didn't mean to photo share a picture of my genitals with you. Stop calling me.
I'd love to see what just random ones. That's amazing. But, you know, it's really interesting. A bunch of these features just seem like they're coming right. You know, what's nice is it's not that they're stealing from Android, but I like that these are spurning innovation.
Yeah.
Know, spurring. Innovation. Spurning.
Spurning.
You know, where they'll take it and do it better, and then Android will do it better, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
blah.
Yeah. Competition.
You know, I think that's really good. Apparently, all the stores are going to have a remodel, like the music store. In the app store, but nobody's really exactly seen what those look like. There may be
they do that every once in a while, though. Yeah. It's not, you know, people. It's one of those things people complain about for 2 days and they'll forget that it ever happened.
Yeah, but here's the thing: is so available not on the original iPad, so you won't be able to use it on the original iPad. Only iPad 2 and above.
Oh man!
And not available on anything below the fourth generation iPod Touch, which is also interesting. For the iPod line.
Wait, it's not on... Oh, on iPod.
iPod Touch. It'll work with the 3GS, the iPhone 4, and the 4S, and then obviously the upcoming iPhone 5, whenever that comes out. My guess is it will launch with iOS 6.
Right.
When? Anybody's guess. I'm going to give a September prediction. I'm just throwing it out there.
Mm-hmm.
September prediction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other big thing at the event was Mountain Lion. Right on cue. It looks like it's probably coming out like maybe next week. I mean, it's going to be coming out really soon. And the Mountain Lion upgrade, I think, is $20.
That's
really
cool.
Cheap. So that's pretty nice. The features aren't crazy.
Mountain Lion feels like it should be around in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hot weather animal.
Roaming around.
Yeah, in the mountains.
On the prowl.
You think of it as a desert animal. speaking of summer vacations, there were two things that I wanted to talk about quickly.
Yeah, shoot.
One.
Okay. No, you are not allowed.
I'm going to. I'm going to misname them, which is that
I expect.
This is the whole point. One is called Road Trippin', and one is called Road Trip.
Road Trippin'.
I don't know which is which, but that being said, one of them.
These are apps.
Yes? These one. One is a website. One is an app.
Okay.
The website. This is more along the lines with the food thing, is you type in your destination, your starting point and destination, like you would in a, you know, map direction program.
Yeah.
And it maps out all the interesting sites and places to eat along the way.
Hmm.
So any sort of like, you know, diner that's supposed to be great or a little roadside attraction or say, you know, Mount Rushmore or whatever.
Right.
So I think that's pretty great.
That's neat.
And then the other one, Road Trip, I think, is an app that uses RDO. And
Does it use RDO on your phone?
On your phone, yeah.
Okay.
And you type in your same thing, and what it does is it sort of makes playlists based on sort of the amount of time you'll be driving through an area and the music of the area. So it will like, you know, if you're driving through Alabama, it'll
play Leonard Skinner. So it's a coordinated playlist. Like, so where you are, you're hearing music for that.
For where you're at.
Location.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's neat.
That's pretty cool. You know what it reminds me of? I mean, some people don't like the movie, but it reminds me of Elizabethtown.
Right.
The end of Elizabethtown.
I liked the end of it.
Where he does the mix for her as she's driving through, and it's different music for different.
Exactly.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. I would like to use it. Maybe I will. But driving from,
Los Angeles to...
From Tarzana to Santa Monica. I don't know. Oh, there's probably
pretty good music. Yeah, I think so too. The other huge news this last week was there was a big Microsoft event. Nobody exactly knew what it was. It was very hush-hush, which was interesting. And what they came to announce was what is called...
Microsoft Surface.
They have designed their own hardware tablet. So this is the new, from the ground up, tablet built for Windows 8.
Mm-hmm.
And big step for Microsoft. They have never really, aside from the Xbox, the hardware game has not been their game.
Right.
They did like to point out in the beginning video of this thing that they, I don't know if they, they didn't say they invented it, but they came out with the first consumer mouse, basically. And they built it themselves.
Yeah.
Back in the day. It was kind of interesting.
Sure.
They're like, our long history of hardware includes, and it's like this old school.
I would argue mouse. That Mickey was the first consumer mouse.
Well done, dude. Well done. So they showed off this tablet. It looks, I think it personally, it looks beautiful and sleek and thin. Looks like a pretty, you know, very pretty display.
Are you talking about women or are you talking about a thing here?
You know, sometimes Jimmy, they get mixed up.
Yeah, like, I started getting nervous.
Sometimes you just want, never mind. I'll stop that.
I don't even know where you were
going. I'll stop.
So it has a couple of unique features. One is it comes with Windows 8.
That's unique.
So that's one in itself. And I'll talk about that in a second because I actually had some interesting thoughts on that. But the other two very unique features. One is a built-in kickstand.
Yeah, that's great.
And it's...
I can't believe no one's ever done that before.
Well, I think they've kind of... Some of the phones, HTC phones, have these little kickstands.
Well, I feel like the kickstands have always been these sort of flimsy things that go around the edge mm-hmm. instead of being a thing that's in the back.
So, I mean, this looks like
a picture frame.
Yeah, it looks like a picture frame. It looks like if it were a battery cover, it's what would flip out.
Yeah.
Basically. And it makes it stand. I think...
They're cool. Going to break easily.
I don't know. From the videos I was watching, it seemed crazy sturdy.
Uh-huh.
I haven't put it in my hands or anything, but that's what it seemed like. Maybe not, you know, we'll see. The other very, very, very cool thing is the cover that they came out with.
Yes.
This, I think, I would love to try typing on it, but, and it's uber thin, and it's a magnetic cover that clicks on.
It's like
on,
the iPad cover.
Except there's a
except
keyboard.
Except it's a keyboard.
There's a full keyboard on there, and there's two types. One is a very thin keyboard, and the one's a little thicker keyboard that has kind of more, a little more tactile typing. This really is meant to be this really like hybrid laptop tablet kind of device, and it's the first time, I have to be very honest, the first time I understand what they're trying to do with Windows 8.
Right.
I still don't think it's right for a desktop, but this kind of device, it makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. You have the whole Windows 8 plus you have the full desktop, so you can run Word and Outlook and everything, and you can this is a very, the specs on this are really powerful. I don't remember exactly what they were, but you could basically have this in your office plugged into a monitor and have it be your work computer, and then pop it out, take it with you, and have everything that you would use but in a tablet form.
Right.
It's really interesting, and it's the first time I get this whole strategy. For a device like this, it's perfect. I love the keyboard. I love it. I mean, I think people are going to...
Yeah, it looks great. I've considered in the past buying the little travel keyboard for my iPad.
Yeah.
And just was like, I don't want to haul that around. This, when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, that. Why didn't that happen before?
Perfect. Great. Amazing. Yeah. I believe it has a DisplayPort connection. It has USB 3, if I remember correctly. I hope I'm not stating that wrong. It really just, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be great or not, but I think they're on the right track. Do people want Windows tablets? I don't know, man.
Are you saying that horses do? No, but horses do.
Yes, they do, Jamie. I don't know.
That was terrible.
You normally do a good horse.
I know.
Come on, get a good one.
Boom, 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 boom. No, that still wasn't bad.
Come on, you got to get the end. You have to do the... Much better. It was bad. It was good. You normally do better. You normally really nail the horse sound effect. I'm just saying.
I know.
For people out there, Jamie Duner is a master.
Maybe I ate horse meat at Chez Mai in France, and that's...
I don't want to talk about that. There was no price released for the Surface, which was interesting. And obviously, like, Google, their conference is next week.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors are they're going to be announcing their tablet. So they were getting out in front of it.
Do you think Google has a good chance at making an awesome tablet?
I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean,
how's their hardware in general?
They've never. Well, they've always
partnered Android has partnered up with
HTC, Samsung. They've always done different.
Well, I'm sure it'll be something like that too.
It's going to be their tablet is, I believe, made by Asus.
Okay.
It's already been confirmed that Asus is making their tablet.
Okay,
I love Asus. Uh-huh. My computer's Asus. I think they make solid hardware. You're Asus, kid. I don't know. Like, to me, and Brian and I have had this conversation in the past by ourselves. To me, it's like people aren't buying tablets to buy a tablet. They're buying iPads.
Yeah.
It's not, they're not just going, oh, what's Apple's tablet? It's an iPad. It's the iPad as a whole.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't know if this market exists or not. I mean, we'll see. These guys do for Surface. They have a really big in, I think, with the enterprise market and with businesses. And if they can get this into the business hands, I think it can take off.
Right.
If they can't, the consumer market's going to be so-so. But, they've been great with the Xbox. Maybe they'll put major marketing into this thing.
I'm still convinced that Kinect is the future of Microsoft.
Me too. Absolutely.
That's because it has so many implications throughout industry.
Yeah, and Sam and I talked about it last week with the smart glass.
Uh-huh. That thing's awesome.
Smart glass is going to be on these tablets. So if they integrate it with that whole system, maybe right. That's a way
so,
it takes off.
So Surface makes you Microsoft, not micro hard.
No, I would say it's somewhere in between. There was very close to a spit take on TechBacon just now. Jamie said that as I was drinking water. You son of a...
boop.
It wasn't a horn this time.
No. I wish it was a horn instead of a beep.
That'd be fun.
Like you could like really like...
You're such a...
You're such a... I don't know.
A little music cue to actually go with what you're saying. You're such a... I think you should tell Lauren to start implementing that on her show. Emoticon
by the way,
bleeps.
I'm working on the music for it, so I sit in with the editor sometimes. And, we have running jokes about, like, I think a slide whistle should go there, or... Or how about Yakety Sax over this scene?
That'd be a fun, like, just reel to do for rap or something. Like on one of the episodes and actually just put those in.
Uh-huh. By the way, this Thursday night, June 28th, 10:30 p.m., season premiere, Awkward Season 2. Check it out.
MTV. Check your local listings for the channel. Very exciting. It was, if you get Entertainment Weekly, the bullseye this week. Was awkward.
Yes, the center of the bullseye.
So Jamie now is married to the center of the bullseye.
Yeah, yes.
The creator of Awkward. Maybe we'll have to get Miss Lauren a little interview on the show one
fun.
Day.
That would be fun. Yeah.
All right, we'll have to think about that. That would be cool. I think that would be cool. There might be a lot of bleeping going
on. There would definitely be a lot of bleeping. And you might learn some stuff about Scott that you never thought you would.
And Jamie.
Just because she tends to
Maybe we shouldn't have Lauren. Maybe we shouldn't have Lauren on the show. Yeah. I'm going to take that back.
So, Scott, how did you lose your virginity?
Oh man!
By the way, she did ask my mom that in front of me.
It is becoming a story of lore.
And my mom told her.
Of course she did. Of course, because Lauren is.
And I held my ears and said, "No, no, this is not happening. No,
no, no, no, no, no, la 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 la." All right, so I think. We'll wrap it up there on the technology side of things. Moving to, since we were talking about Awkward in the entertainment side of the world,
mm-hmm.
A couple of things. We saw a very interesting flick.
Yeah, Safety Not Guaranteed, starring Aubrey Plaza and Mark Duplass.
Duplass brothers.
They produced it?
Produced it.
They didn't direct it.
No.
Concept is there's a writer for like a weekly magazine she's an intern, and one of the people she works for gets an idea for a story. There's a classified ad that says, wanted a person to time travel with, bring your own weapons, safety not guaranteed. And they sort of go
to find this
to find this guy who they're assuming is a nut job. And
a very, very like little backstory on this is there was a local, where was it? Was it Seattle or something? Like local magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And the real story about this is the local magazine, to fill space in their classifieds, the guy would just write random weird things.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah, no, this is how it came about. And so he would write just like random things. And one of the things he wrote was, partner for time travel needed, and he wrote this ad, and then it kind of became a cult thing, and people would respond with pictures and like
cool.
We just traveled back and like fake funny stuff.
Yeah,
and I guess the guys who did the movie had participated in that in the past, and so yeah. Then they decided to do a movie.
There's a
it.
Guy. I'm going to research this, but there's this guy.
He's a real time traveler.
No. But there is this guy who like shows up at certain things. This is a real thing, and what? Like. Claims to be a time traveler,
no.
And no one knows who he is outside of him showing up at these things.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like it's one of these things that you hear about on like late night radio talk shows. I gotta research it a little more, but it's one of those things that creeps you out a little bit when you hear about it.
That's weird.
I don't think it's real, but it's
very
still
strange.
Creepy.
That was, was it a Ray Bradbury story, that time travel story where the guy
Sound of Thunder?
Is that a Sound of Thunder? No, not Sound of Thunder is the
dinosaur,
the
stepping
dinosaur
on the
one.
Butterfly.
But there's the one, I'm trying to remember if it was Ray Bradbury or not. It's just been on my head recently because they passed away. Where a guy claims he's a time traveler. He goes into the future and shows a world where it's like kind of destroyed and polluted, and he has pictures and he brings it back, and then the world like changes based on what he did. And then it gets to that point in the future where he was supposed to come back, and the world gathers around to welcome him, you know, to welcome the time traveler and have him, you know, come. And it turns out it was a complete hoax, and he had saw where the world was coming, so he faked that he was a time traveler. And
I don't know. That sounds like a Ray Bradbury story.
I feel like it was. I can't remember, but it was a great short story.
Is it in this book?
It might be. We have a lovely science fiction book from college sitting on my bookshelf. But anyway, safety not guaranteed. What's his name from New Girl is in it?
Jake Johnson.
Is that his name?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah, very funny.
Yeah.
Great job. It's really like a quirky...
It's a subtle little quirky indie comedy.
Really
laughs,
fun.
But, you know, they're far between. But it's a nice little
really
thing.
Unique and interesting. Great acting, I thought.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It was great. It was good. I really enjoyed it. Good movie.
Yeah. I think it's one of those movies I think appeals to everybody.
Yes.
You know, it's very broad. So, safety not guaranteed. Jamie Duner and I give it 2 sticks of bacon up. No?
Well, crispy bacon.
Crispy bacon. It's crispy. It's on the crispy side. No. We got to
no.
Figure out something else. This
yeah.
doesn't work.
That doesn't, no.
No. No. Anyway, good movie. Check it out. The other thing was Friday night, we went to a concert.
Yes.
Of a group called?
It's either the Avett Brothers or the Avett Brothers, A-V-E-T-T. I think
it's
Avett.
I was going to say,
people
I think it's
say Avett. I have no idea. But it was great.
Great show.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys...
Basically, there's 3 brothers. One plays the upright bass. Another plays the banjo. Another plays guitar.
And piano.
And the 2 of them play piano as well.
Right.
The 2 that play the banjo and the guitar do most of the singing. The 3rd one does backup stuff
and
a
harmony
lot.
Harmony stuff. And...
But they're brothers, so they've been singing together since they were kids, so like... When they harmonize, it's one of those things where it might not be like perfect pitch and all that sort of stuff.
It sounds
like
one voice.
But it's, yeah, it's when,
in harmony,
when siblings harmonize, there's something crazy about it.
Yeah, it's really, it's a very unique and amazing sound that comes out.
But these guys like have this energy, and I don't think, I think you hear it on their very first record.
They're,
like, yeah. But you don't really hear it in subsequent records. They have this energy live that almost borders on... like punk or something, where it's like so
they feel
vibrant.
The music
they they're sort of like screaming happening. There's like
it's very primal almost.
Mm-hmm.
in the way they're singing, like you the only way I can describe it is like you see the music flowing through their bodies, Really. I mean, that's how I felt.
They're like, totally like avatars, man.
They turn into these balls of light. And then you're all of a sudden...
But yeah, but a great show. I mean, I had seen them. I saw them a long time ago at Coachella, and it was, they were the first act of the day. And I remember like standing in a tent with like 20 other people and us like just kind of looking around going, I can't believe no one else is here. This is awesome. But I hadn't seen them since. And their show was 2 hours plus, and it was top to bottom terrific. And Scott and Sam both had never really even heard them before, and they were just sort of both.
I mean, these guys. I had heard that one song, that Brooklyn, Brooklyn. What's
oh,
the
yeah,
name of that
yeah.
song?
That's what it's called. Brooklyn,
is
Brooklyn.
That what it's called? Yeah. I mean, great song. I've been on the radio a lot, or KCRW and stuff like that. But really, it was a special show, man. I was moved, very moved a couple of times.
Yeah.
They did this really, this like acoustic set, the two brothers, the guitar and banjo and a mic. And they stood real, it was really unique because they stood real close to each other.
Yeah.
And they were playing the instruments right next to each other.
Yeah.
And then singing into the microphone. And man.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was
there was
special.
Lots of great stuff in that show.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something good. They have a couple of live albums out there.
Oh, really? I haven't
heard
the live albums.
I think they have three.
Oh.
Live one, live two, live three.
Yeah. Check out the live albums before you check out the recorded ones.
Absolutely. And they also, there's this one song called The Once and Future Carpenter that they did.
Mm-hmm.
It's not on any of their albums. It's online. There's a streaming version from Country Music Channel. But that was that one that
that was great.
That I'll post a link to it actually.
Cool.
But it was just such a great lyric and such a, it was a real like moving moment in the show. Everyone was really quiet and they were singing this
for one man. There was
one problem with the show.
There is like sort of a, and I don't want to insult anyone that was in a fraternity, but there is sort of a frat house atmosphere, so that any time there's a quiet moment.
They don't know how to handle it, and they
people
yell.
Have to yell and whoa,
yeah,
yeah. And it's just, you know, just shut the hell up and let
they were
them
ruining some of the beautiful moments.
Let them sing a quiet song, please.
Yeah, yeah.
No
yeah.
one's here to hear you scream, dude.
No, no. You want to sing along? Great.
You want to scream like that? Go to a sporting event.
Yeah, go to somewhere where they can't hear you. To be perfectly honest,
yeah, like the Sting people.
Oh.
We're That's a story for another time.
Story for another
one
time.
One of the great concert stories.
Yes, of all time. But Avett Brothers, check it out. Their last album was 2 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
2010.
Uh-huh.
And maybe they'll be coming out with a new one. But if they roll through your town, highly recommend the live show and the live performances. You can they have their albums. Live albums are on Spotify, so you can check them out
cool.
on there. So that was, that was our musical experience this weekend. Now we're going to go back to food. Look at this. This podcast all over the place.
Yeah.
Crazy
yeah,
podcast here.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I had what I think the more I think about it, I think was the best meal of my life.
Holy moly.
So we're going to just throw that out there. Best meal of my life. I get a call.
Wonder Bread? Wonder Bread,
some
peanut butter
PB&J,
jelly.
And a glass of water. I get a call the other night from my good friend William, and he says, my family purchased this dinner for a pancreatic charity from an auction,
mm-hmm.
and my sister can't go. Would you like to come? And I'm like, okay. Before he even really told me what it was, I was about to say, okay. So here was the specs of this dinner, a private dinner
uh-huh.
for about 30 people.
Yes.
Personally cooked by Wolfgang Puck, Nobu, and Joachim Splichel. I can't remember pronounce the last name, but the guy at Patina.
Okay.
The head chef at Patina. These guys are all...
World-renowned,
insane chefs.
Yeah.
And I got to have dinner personally cooked by those three guys.
Amazing.
Let me tell you, first of all, I walked in. It was hors d'oeuvres all prepared by Wolfgang Puck. And like these guys were cooking in the kitchen. They were actually cooking the food. There was like this smoked salmon with sweet summer relish. I'm going to kind of read off the menu, which was great. This oyster and oyster and caviar. They had these like chilled soups, sweet pea, corn and tomato soups, which were pretty amazing. An insane crispy pork belly, little hors d'oeuvre.
Uh-huh.
Dissolved in your mouth.
Yeah.
As you had it. Also, one of the really cool things was this watermelon cube. It was like a little piece of watermelon. And it had a bubble that was sangria. And so you ate it and the sangria exploded in your mouth with the watermelon. Pretty, pretty amazing. And these were all done by Wolfgang Puck.
So a sandia sangria.
A sandia sangria. Nice. Ba-dum-bum. So another part, I'll talk about the rest of the menu, but what was so cool about this was, first of all, I got to meet all the chefs. Number one.
Nice.
I was at one point standing in the kitchen with Wolfgang Puck and Chef Nobu, arms around each other, telling stories, laughing crazy just about them and their cooking and their lives.
Oh, that's
and I'm
awesome.
Sitting there and I'm like, oh, hey, this is Scott. And I shake their hands and I'm sitting there laughing and telling stories and eating little hors d'oeuvres in the kitchen.
That's
while these guys are cooking.
Yeah.
It was mind blowing. I mean, just like the experience of it was insane.
I've got after you're done, I've got a funny Wolfgang Puck story to round it all out.
All right. So here was the menu. So we all sat down and what was really cool, the chefs would come out before each course and tell you what it was.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was just insane. So the first course was by Nobu and it was tuna tartare with caviar, which
so it's kind of like being on Top Chef.
Yes, it was like being at the judges' table at Top Chef. I had my own personal judges' table at Top Chef.
So who won, Scott?
I actually would say Wolfgang Puck. Yeah, and I'll tell you why in a minute. So Nobu comes out with this tuna tartare with caviar, which I guess is one of his signature dishes.
Uh-huh.
Really amazing tuna tartare, and the way it was prepared was really fascinating. So there's it was in like a glass, like a martini glass almost.
Okay.
And so the bottom was the tuna tartare.
A tartarini glass? Tartini glass?
Tartini? Yes. It was like tuna tartare on the bottom.
A tuna tartare. Tuna tetrazzini?
Stop it. Let me explain it, tuna.
Sorry.
And on the top was this tomato, like...
Tomato was on top of the tuna tartare? That's terrific.
I hate you. I'm not going to be recovering from this. Stop it. Okay. Tuna tartare with a mater on the top. Thank you. But it was like, it was glazed. So
it was gelatinous.
Yes, it was gelatinous, but it was just fresh tomato. So it was just the way it was prepared. And then there was some caviar on top. Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, just really tasty, incredible. So the second course was also Nobu's and it was a miso glazed black cod.
Uh-huh.
And it was served in like, I don't know if it was like a banana leaf or something over the top.
Uh-huh.
Perfectly cooked fish, you know, just flaky and tasty. I guess one of his signature dishes.
Yeah, that's his thing, right?
Yeah. And I mean, it was awesome. I mean, it was great. So then the third course was, Chef Joachim, and it was this, sous-vide farm breast of chicken with, peas and morel mushrooms.
Uh-huh.
Super, super moist and tender chicken. What was really cool for this, I went in the back while he was finishing preparing it.
Yeah.
So he was running the kitchen. He was doing it and they were saucing it. So they were putting the sauce and there was a line of like, it wasn't a huge kitchen staff, but like six or seven guys back there and they're saucing it and he's watching and he's telling them how to do it. He's like, no, you have to put, and he just moves the guy out of the way, grabs the thing and starts I'm watching this like world renowned chef sauce our dinner.
That's cool.
I mean, it was really cool.
Sounds saucy.
He was very saucy. So that was pretty delicious. Then the fourth course, this is the winner. This was by far one of the best things I have ever eaten. So it was by Wolfgang Puck. And what was really kind of
Chinese chicken salad.
Yes. How did you know? No, you know what's pretty amazing is like you forget that Wolfgang Puck is actually this innovative, amazing chef.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like he's the celebrity, he's the name on the pizza and all this stuff, but this guy, like pushing boundaries on the food.
He created. It's because of him that you sort of have like all of this fusion stuff.
Yeah. You forget. Yeah. And so this kind of made me remember. So this core, it was early harvest corn agnolotti with white truffle.
Agnolotti?
It's like a pasta.
Uh-huh.
With white truffle oil, goat cheese, and locatelli, which I'm not sure exactly what that was. But there were shaved truffles on the top of this thing. It was this pasta with this super fresh sweet corn filling
mm-hmm.
coming out of it, and with the truffle taste, it was just this combination of flavors that I've never had before.
Yeah,
it was pasta and sweet and truffle. It was like sweet and savory, all everything in one bite.
Yeah,
man, he just.
By the way, I will say there was a restaurant we had at a vineyard in Italy where I had truffles from the area.
Ooh.
And I had never, that's something I never liked before either. And it was like, that was incredible. Another thing where I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah. You're like, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, really like just a special dish. This really was a special dish. The fifth course was by Chef Joachim, and it was a filet of beef with foie gras and caramelized shallots. Once again, I'm not a foie gras fan either.
You're not a foie addict?
I'm not a foie addict. No. But it was, you know, it was fine. It was good. I ate it. I wanted to eat everything that was put in front of me. And so I had, it was the filet was exquisitely prepared.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just really, I just, you know, it's like some of these things I just don't have word for because it was so, so well done. And then the last thing was a dessert, which was pineapple three ways. And it was just kind of like a different kind of candied pineapple with a fresh
three
coconut
pineapples
ice cream.
Doing it.
And they combined together to come up with some, nah, you know, I'm not going to go where I was going to go. It's just not happening. But there was some coconut ice cream with it. That's all I'm saying. So it really, I think it was the best meal I've ever had. Just the whole experience. And
that's awesome.
And the reason for it was for pancreatic cancer, which was amazing.
That's great.
It was a great cause. And just a special thing to get to meet all these guys and have them cooking for this small group of people. So, you know, that it was this amazing chef's dinner, and I felt honored, and I don't need to ever eat again. Like the next day I was like, okay, what do I have for lunch? Peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Like, what do you eat after that?
Yeah.
You can't
that's
follow
true.
It up.
Maybe that's what I'm wrestling with on our trip. The food was so good at some points that you were sort of like, you didn't want to eat other stuff. Like there was this pasta in Venice, spider crab, like a sort of a fra diavolo sauce and fresh pasta. And it was amazing. And then after that, we're like, well, like we couldn't find anything that tasted as good. So it was, so then suddenly
some
restaurants became disappointing, you know, even though they were probably pretty good.
Right. Right. You had been lifted so high up.
There's also a fish restaurant in Venice that cooked fish I've ever had.
What
John Dory, it was. Mm. And it was just sort of the local specialty. And man, that was delicious. Here's my Wolfgang Puck story.
Okay.
It's not that interesting, but it just kind of cracks me up. I guess it was last year, Lauren and I went to Spago and just sort of randomly. And we're there. I'd never been there. So she's like, you got to go to Spago. Huh. And so we went. I'd worked on commercials where we shot there. I'd
never,
eaten there.
Yeah.
And we go and we get a tasting menu, you know? And, you know, about three courses in, Wolfgang Puck comes out and like gives us our course. Hello, nice. How are you doing? I am Wolfgang. It's nice to meet you. What is your name? Jamie. What's your name? Lauren. Oh, thank you so much for coming to our restaurant. It is a pleasure for me to cook for you. Have you been here before? Like a little conversation with us. Walks away. That was awesome. Wolfgang Puck just introduced himself to us and we're sitting there. More courses. About the seventh course, Wolfgang Puck comes out again, brings it.
Same thing.
Hello, I am Wolfgang. Nice to meet you. What is your name? Thank you for coming to our restaurant. Have you ever been here before? I was like, I think they have a Wolfgang Puck robot at Spago.
He's malfunctioned.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's a good story. You know, they're actually...
It was pucked up, man.
Totally pucked up, man. you know, they're actually remodeling and redoing the whole menu at Spago.
Really?
Yeah, they're gutting the place. They're going to redo the whole thing. And he's going to...
Is Chinois still open?
I don't know. It...
On Main? Man,
yeah, no, I don't know.
That was good. Many years ago.
Yeah.
I haven't been there in forever.
I don't think it is. I think it is... I don't think it's there anymore.
All these places are expensive.
I know. They're all expensive. That's the problem with them.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's all we got, man. Thanks for listening. And we hope you join us again next week. I'm Scott.
I'm Jamie.
Take care.